Smart shoppers know where to find real value. At the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, you'll find five brand new models under $30,000, over 600 used vehicles under $20,000, new vehicles priced under employee pricing, and a team that gives you top dollar for your trade every time. Shop smart at Jeff Weiler on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Kristen.
Hello.
How are you feeling about this?
I'm good. I'm kind of, I feel really honored that you asked me because I feel like I haven't been part of the group for so long. So I feel, thank you.
Well, you have a lot to add. It feels like you've been
part of the group for a while. I know, it does. You know, I was looking back, like when I first joined and it was only in February, which is wild.
Isn't that crazy?
I know, time literally flies. So yeah, so thank you for having me.
Thank you for accepting. What song do you want played when you walk into a room?
Brother is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the Hawaii version, where he's like,
mm-hmm. Not the Kermit the Frog version?
No.
Okay. Carbohydrate.
Croissants. I love a good croissant.
Can't go wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese.
Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese. You're the first.
Really?
Yes. Somebody was recently on and we were talking about how nobody ever says Swiss.
That's so funny.
Nobody ever says Swiss.
Everything.
Condiment.
Ranch dressing.
Do you have a brand of preference?
What is it? Is it Hunts Valley, the like main?
Hidden Valley.
Yeah. Hidden Valley. Thank you. Hidden Valley. I'm really weird about it.
You know, like there's a big tub that's like the ranch dip that's for, you know, veggies.
Yes. Smashing that.
I've been getting into that.
That's a good one. That is good. Like, I love sweet potato fries with ranch dressing. So good.
I agree. Okay. So how did you learn that you were an adult child?
Honestly, through the podcast and like joining group. I mean, it's crazy. So back in February when I joined, I was just going through all the feels of like being no contact with my family, especially my mom, who I was super close with, and my best friend. She had been encouraging me for a while to find a group. And I was just like, girl, I don't like that. There's like a small, what? And also like, where am I going to find that? You know, somebody that doesn't talk to their family. Are you kidding me? And then I just was scrolling and listened to, it was one of the like shit show, like group shares. And I like can imagine it perfectly. I was sitting in my car at work in between visits and was just like, oh my gosh, these people are like in my head. And so I got on your Instagram page and then joined the group and joined my first meeting that Thursday after, and been a part of it ever since.
Were you already listening to the podcast at that point?
No, I hadn't been.
How'd you find it? Do you know?
What's that?
Do you know how you found it?
I feel like, so I listened to Dr. Sherry Campbell's podcast a lot too. And I feel like when, you know how like when you scroll down and it will suggest like other similars. And so I saw yours and I don't know, there's just something about, I'm very like visually motivated.
It's a good logo. It's a good logo.
Yeah, the logo. It's a great logo. So I clicked on that. And then yeah, like just joining and listening and like reading what an adult child was, I was like, oh. And then it wasn't until like group two that I learned what ACA was and then actually admitted to myself that I was an adult child of an alcoholic. You know, my dad, I always knew he was an alcoholic, but I just never like put the two together. So a lot of epiphanies.
And how long had you been in therapy by that point?
So I had been with my newer therapist probably, I want to say like 6 months. So I had been in therapy back in 2019. My youngest sister, she passed away. So I started therapy with my first therapist and then took a break from her during COVID and then started back up with her after, I guess backstory I should go into, but.
I was going to go into that. For that to be like, you're obviously didn't know that you were an adult child at the time, but like, why don't you tell the story of like hitting your adult child bottom?
Okay. So yeah, so in 2022, my boys came to my husband and then myself and told us that my nephew, their older cousin, had been abusing them off and on for the last several years. And it had really picked up when my middle sister and her kids moved in with my parents, and they live like 10 minutes from us. And so,
Is this a son of your sister that passed away?
no. So my
No.
youngest sister who passed away, she never had kids.
Okay.
She had a rare genetic syndrome and was like dependent and had special needs. So this is my middle sister, and she had like left her abusive husband, moved back home. And yeah, so my kids had shared with us that there had been like numerous accounts of physical and sexual abuse. And so we like cut ties right away.
Were you completely shocked?
I mean, yes, so Jacob, my husband and I, things had just like, I don't know, we had just had like weird feelings about things. The kids' behavior kind of started to just shift. Like, they were asking the next time when they were going to see my parents and my nephew. And we took it as like, oh, they're excited. But now looking back, it was like an anxious, like, when do we have to see them again? But I was, when they shared the details of what had happened and where it had happened in my parents' house, that like, that was, yeah, that just kind of took me, that was my rock bottom.
Come to your husband together.
Yes, they did. So they were supposed to see my parents. It was like a Tuesday. My parents would help us with like drop off and pick up. So they were supposed to see them that following day. And my nephew was supposed to be with my parents. And so the boys were asking Jacob, and he was like, guys, what's going on? And they just broke down. And what's crazy is that it started when my youngest was 3 and my oldest was 5. And it's like crazy to look back now. Like they were so little, you know? And then through therapy and stuff, we had found out like they had tried to go to my parents and my sister to ask for help, and it was just kind of brushed away
Do you know what was said?
from my parents.
Like to them? Yeah. Well, either, both. Like, what did
Yeah,
your kids say
so
to them?
my boy said that they went to them and said, you know, blank is hurting us, or he hurt me, or he choked me, or all of these things. And so my parents would just be like, oh, don't do that, don't be so rough, and then just leave it at that. But then we found out that they, you know, there were times where there was a couple times where it was so bad where, you know, my nephew was like put in timeout for once. He never got in trouble, but the one time he did. But it never was relayed to my husband or I either, you know? And like it was very predatory. He would like try to lure them into the basement or like lure them upstairs into the bedroom.
How much older was he than them?
So he was, let's see, he's in 8th grade now. So
Okay.
yeah, so 7 years. Yeah.
And like you find this out, and then what did you do next?
So it's interesting. I called my mom because my mom and I were very, very close. I mean, we knew everything about each other. Growing up, my dad and my sister, we just butt heads constantly. So I called her and I told her, and she was like, no, no way. So she didn't believe us right away. And then she said, okay, well, you know, my sister was going through her divorce. She was like, well, I'll say something. There's just so much going on right now. And like, she wasn't understanding the urgency of it. And we went, like, no, you guys, he's not allowed at our house anymore. The boys are saying that they don't want to see him. Then the boys also said they didn't want to see my parents or my sister. So we told them, no, you are not allowed to come over to the house. We were going to have this meeting to tell my sister what we had heard from my kids. And then she had called me the night before and just like blew up on me, said I was making it up, said my kids were making it up, said that I've always hated her son and this was a personal vendetta. And my mom was at home, and I like remember taking the phone away from my ear. My husband heard my sister just screaming at me. And that was when he first kind of started to realize like the dynamics, because my sister is very good at hiding her true self. So we went basically no contact. I started them in, I called my therapist, my original therapist, tried to get them in therapy, found their current therapist now, who are amazing. Like, so they're, my boys are still in therapy, my youngest one primarily, and started with my therapist. And it was going, I mean, she was good. She helped me establish the boundary with my, especially my mom, because that was really hard. I went basically no contact with my dad and my sister almost right away, like several weeks after we had found out.
And how did you communicate that?
Well, the last time I talked to my dad, he told me and my husband on the phone, because I said, no, we're not going to see you guys. No, my nephew's not coming over. And he said, fuck you. I don't care if I ever fucking see my grandkids again. And I said, okay. And so that was that. And then my sister, I don't think I like officially told her. I just stopped
Stopped
talking to
meeting you.
her. And then my mom, I just finally told her, after I talked to her on the phone for the last time, I just was like, I need space. Like, there's a lot to process. I need space. She wasn't respecting our boundaries. So sorry, I definitely got off track, but
No, I was asking all those questions.
so
No.
yeah, so then my first therapist was really trying to get me to get back in a relationship with my mom, which I wanted no part of. And I kept telling her that. And then I started feeling very anxious, and I was scared to go to therapy. And I never realized like the therapist abuse is, it's a real
It
thing,
is.
and for anybody that's listening, if you don't like, you should never feel nervous to go see your therapist. You should never be spiraling before or after. If you are, just do what's best for yourself, and cut the relationship. And that's what I did. And I asked my son's
Gosh.
therapist if I could see her, and she had actually recommended her business partner, who is my current therapist now. And she's amazing. I've been with her for a year now. I've made more progress than I ever have. Like, in she literally has like saved my life. She's incredible. And it's nice that her and my two boys, like, they're all in the same practice, so they all like know. So
Do you know what therapy like looks like for your kids?
I do.
I'm
So
curious.
my youngest, I still sit in the sessions. Well, he started when he was four. So because he was so young when we first started, I had to sit in the sessions with him. My oldest was six when he started. So initially I would sit in there, and then he got to the point where he could feel comfortable by himself. So his therapist would like touch base with me after. But it's a lot of like, they didn't necessarily like outright ask like what happened. It just, there's a lot of, it is, it's a lot of play therapy with my youngest, especially. She does this really great thing where like he just has to move his body, and so she'll take him outside, and when he talks about a big feeling, she like chucks rocks at a tree and like gets it all out. Talking, I've actually learned a lot about, I learned stuff from my children's therapist, and that was when I realized like, oh, I never was taught that it's okay to be angry. And then, that's when I realized I've got a lot of work to do on myself. Like, I have to heal myself before I can heal my kids. So my youngest, we play Candyland, and it's like a, but like Candyland with a twist. So, if you pull a double purple, then you have to share, she'll say like a certain type of feeling. She does sand therapy with him as well too. So, like, he talked about, he had like buried himself in the sandbox, and then essentially like who his protectors were. So it was, myself, my husband, his brother, and then like talked about like bad people. They did share initially some things that had happened, especially my oldest. It was interesting. His therapist gave him animals, and he had to assign an animal to each person in the family. And so it was interesting, my nephew who abused them, I think he was like a black panther. So he was like vicious but sneaky, So yeah, it's been really, really helpful, because just talking about the generational trauma, I tried so much myself to not pass down things, but you do things without even realizing it. And so therapy has been helpful for me and my son too, and just like working on that repair and that trust also, you know. So, and then like reviewing body positivity and inappropriate touching and how to like just advocate for yourself. And yeah, so it's been really, really good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like all the things that they're like learning as far as regulation and emotions and you know, like all that stuff is so valuable.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, because like I didn't learn any of that stuff. You know, my house was freaking chaos every day. My dad was screaming at me, my sister was yelling at, you know, my mom was just checked out. And so I didn't know how to regulate anything. So learning how to do that, like it's amazing. My son, you know, they're more emotionally intelligent than I am, I think, because they'll recognize that they're having a big feeling and they've built these coping skills boxes with their therapist. And so, you know, my son will go upstairs and he'll pull out his coping skills box and like play with his fidget toys. And as a result of that, I created my own coping skills box. So it's, you know, yeah, they use this called the spots, like the big feeling spot. And it's like each color is a different feeling. And so they'll do that game a lot as well too. But
I'm
yeah, it's
curious, like
cool.
in hindsight, obviously, like there were the questions about, you know, when they would see your parents or their cousin. Was there anything else, like behaviorally, that now in hindsight, you know, that you can see?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So
And I don't want
there
people to
was
think, like, I'm asking this so, like, parents can hear it. But at the same time, you know, I obviously don't want
Yeah.
people to, like, assume that means that their kid is being sexually abused. But at the same
Right.
time, you know, it could be
Yeah.
indicative of some sort of, 'cause like, you know, trauma shows up in kids and behaviors.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So my boys have always been super close, but then there was this one incident. It was shortly after, I think it was actually when my sister and my nephews were visiting. And the boys were upstairs in my nephew's room, and we heard this like big banging. And so my husband went up there and he had caught like my nephew was like on top of my youngest, like choking him. And so they said that they were wrestling. So he had just like, he was like, I don't know, there's something off. So ever, you know, after that, we kind of, there was a lot more aggressiveness. If that makes sense, you know, especially like looking back now, like after they would see my nephew, they were so dysregulated. They were all over the place. I mean, really, really big emotions. Also, I think also shortly too, you know, after they were waking up a lot, they were not sleeping. They wanted to be more, they were like wanted to be no next to each other a lot more too. And then there was a lot of anxiety about, Mommy, where are you going? Mommy, when are you coming back? Mommy, who are we going with? Mommy, when are you know, who is going to be there? So like looking back, it was just like more heightened questions that they were asking. My youngest son started wearing a lot of really, really baggy clothes and was very hypersexual, which is hard because for his age, you know, they're figuring out their bodies to begin with, but it just was like a different, it just was different.
A lot of that stuff is hard because it's like they're boys, like being aggressive, like
Exactly,
coming home from
exactly.
spending time away from home, they're going to be dysregulated. Like it's so hard.
Yep, it's so hard. And I, you know, I beat myself up a lot about it. And it's, I think I'll always have that mom guilt. It's hard not to, but my therapist has helped me try to understand like how could I, you know, like how could you know, you know? At least we stopped, like the second we found out, we stopped the cut the contact with them, you know, and got them into therapy right away. But it is hard because, and I remember especially like that first year, I was so, I just became like neurotic and obsessive that every little change in their pattern or behavior, I was like, oh my gosh, who touched you at school? You know, and had to learn how to like tone that down. But yeah, it is. It's really hard. I would say, you know, just when your child comes to you, trust them, believe them, because kids don't make that kind of stuff up, you know, especially when they're that
That
young.
little, yeah.
Yeah. And just, we always told our kids, if someone touches you inappropriately, let us know. And, or if somebody hurts you, I think they were so scared and they were intimidated into not saying anything. And then I am proud that they
Well, that's what I was
finally
going to say is
did.
I think it's a testament to the type of parents that you are that they did eventually feel safe coming and saying something.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So, and I do, I, you know, we check in. I would say check-ins are also super important too, for any parents out there listening. But yeah, and just ask. I mean, yeah.
All right, shit show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's also about investing in our healing journey. And so, by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ADULTCHILD for 15% off today. So before we dive into your upbringing, before all this went down, would you have said that you were being impacted by your childhood and adulthood?
Oh my gosh, no, not at all. I mean, I was completely blindsided when I realized in that one set, I remember the session therapy when I realized that I had been abused my entire life, I mean, I was definitely like the perfectionist, hypervigilant, always on the move. And I just attributed that to just what I was taught. I'm the oldest and I'm the oldest daughter. I'm the responsible. I never ever thought of it as really anything else. Like I was always told that any adversity that I'd overcome, my youngest sister, she had seizures, constantly. She was blind. She was in and out of the hospital. So anything that was a hardship with her, we just was like, oh, we just get over, we rally and we get over it, and that's what makes me stronger. And so I just attributed my maturity at a young age as like a I was rewarded for that. So I now look back and see that actually it was not normal. But yeah.
Okay, so paint the picture.
Oh man. So yeah, so well, what's wild is I would say we were the perfect billboard family. We really were. Both my parents are very successful. I was the oldest, super responsible, took care of my sisters from as early as I can remember. My middle sister, the one who I'm no contact with, she was always appeared very quiet, very caring, very loving, but behind the scenes was vicious. And I think that it was once my youngest sister passed away, that was kind of like when the cracks started to form. Because I think that, sad to say, my youngest sister, I think, was kind of like the glue that held our family together.
Was she
Because,
born sick?
yeah, so we didn't realize it. She was born normal. And then the day that we went to go take her home was when she had her first big seizure.
Okay.
And then she was in the NICU for a while. So yeah, so I mean, she was probably the only secure relationship I had in my family. Her and I were very close, very close. She's the reason why I'm a pediatric physical therapist. She was my whole world. You know, she was nonverbal, but her and I had our own way to communicate.
Communicate.
Yeah. So it's a huge hole in my heart that she's no longer here, but I feel her. I do. So I comforted myself with her a lot. Like I would just go in her room and read to her when my parents were fighting because they fought all the time, all the time. My dad was always drinking and yeah, it was just anything. And then he would come and he would pick on me. I would go to my mom, ask for help. She would say, you know, why can't you just stop picking fights with him, stop reacting? So I was silenced basically, but I stuck up for her constantly. I mean, he was vicious. He's really, really nasty. You know, every time we'd go to the beach, he would be like, oh, there's a beached whale, about my mom, you know, and just, yeah, lots of body shaming, really inappropriate, would like expose himself and think it was funny, or you know, then he'd get really drunk and wanna like have a heart to heart all of a sudden and wanna be like father of the year, but very, very controlling also too. I realized after when I finally left how much financial abuse there was growing up. Everything was always wrapped in a nice pretty bow. Oh, you know, we're doing this for you to help you. And all of these things, and then I never knew that it was all conditional. But yeah, love was conditional for sure growing up. So
What would
yeah.
they fight about?
God, everything. The sky was blue. I feel like a lot of it would be, I mean, my dad would just, his fuse was so short. So honestly, I think a lot of it was me. Like if I had an attitude or if I had like the wrong look on my face, he would just start yelling and then it would just like blow up into these fights. Or if he was upset about something my mom was doing, if she didn't do something correctly, then he would blow up. Like I remember him threatening to leave a lot and saying, I'm gonna go find a better family that deserves me, that appreciates me. You know, I remember him packing and leaving one time and we were like in the car looking for him. And I felt so much like guilt and shame because it was like, I felt like it was like my fault. And then my mom was also saying like, this is why you can't like react, Kristen. This is why you can't fight with him, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like in elementary school. Like, I don't know. I probably was just being an elementary school kid. I don't know. But yeah, he grew up in a very abusive household as well too. So
That was going to
I
be my next question. It was what do you know about your parents' upbringings?
So yeah, so his dad was also an alcoholic and his great grandmother. His dad was very abusive, I think physically and verbally and emotionally abusive. My grandparents were divorced. Whenever we would go back to Hawaii, it was always like a scheduled visit that I had to go see my grandfather. You know, my grandmother was very controlling. She's very like my dad is very much my grandma and the way of like needing to know everything that's going on, having control over the finances, being in everyone's business, but then portraying it as I'm helping you. So he would always say, well, at least I'm not, you know, hitting you like my dad used to hit me. And then my mom's upbringing was, she was very close with my grandfather. And from what it sounds like, from like my cousin and I have been talking about this as well too, but my grandmother, I think, was just, she would have very highs and lows. So she would, you know, be really, really sad and lock herself in the room. And then she would be really emotional. And it sounds like they all kind of walked on eggshells. And my grandfather was kind of just like checked out. So I think that my mom basically married someone like her mom, and she does what her dad did, kind of just checked out and acts like nothing happened. So I have empathy for the way that they were grown up and I understand why. But now that I'm a mom, what I don't have empathy or sympathy for is that they never got help. Like I'm getting help, you know, I think that's the big difference.
Were you aware that your dad had a drinking problem as a kid?
I did, but I didn't really, I don't know if I was actually aware that it was a drinking problem because it just, that's all I knew. And I mean, alcohol was just always, was just part of our life, you know? And same thing with my husband. I mean, you know, he grew up around alcohol too. It wasn't really until I think I went off to college that I realized, like, oh, not everyone's family is like this. But I mean, I used to get so angry at him because he would get so drunk and he would embarrass me, especially in front of like if I had friends over, you know, once I kind of started to, I was older and I understood what alcoholism was, I figured that's what it was, you know, but yeah, I mean, he never got help and or anything. But yeah.
How did your relationship with your sister play out, like as you got in, as you guys became adults?
So I tried so hard to have a relationship with her. You know, we fought when we were younger and she was in this really abusive relationship. I got very protective, but it just, we never like connected. I felt like I was trying so hard to have some form of relationship with her, like check in with her, but she just, there was no like return. And I just kept thinking like, okay, well, this is my punishment. I need to just continue to work to make up for me being mean to her when I was younger. And, you know, anything that I did, my parents would say, well, don't, you know, don't tell your sister because it's going to upset her. Or, you know, so any like success I had or when she came over to our house, you know, we couldn't tell her where we lived for some reason for months because it might upset her. So I felt like she just, yeah, judged me a lot. And then I found out from my husband, my mom had told him that my sister just hated me. And, you know, she just called me the like golden child and everything is handed to me. And that was when I realized like, fuck this. What am I doing? You know, I thought all these years I've been trying to repair this relationship, but it was all for nothing. So yeah, so it wasn't really that hard to say bye to her.
Have they tried to reach out at all? Has your mom, since you've, no.
No, well, so the last time I talked to my dad when he
Yep.
basically said F you, I hadn't talked to him. No apology, nothing until I tore my ACL a couple months later. And then he called me, left me a voicemail, and just acted like nothing happened. Like, hey, dear, I heard about your ACL. You know, let me know. I can drive you to physical therapy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? You no. So I blocked him. Yeah. Like, that's my worst nightmare to be in a car with you. No, thank you. And then, yeah, I didn't. Blocked my sister's number as well. My mom, she kept like texting. She would text these like pictures and be like, oh, on this day, blah, 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 blah. Or, you know, would find something like, oh, you have this of ours. We need it back. And I just ended up blocking her as well. I think my husband still has her unblocked just in case there's any emergency. But yeah, no, my dad and my sister definitely did not. My mom kind of tried, but she didn't take any accountability for anything. And the last time I talked to her, I realized that it was never going to work, that I needed to like go no contact when she told me that, because she wanted to come to my youngest son's like Christmas thing, you know, presentation because my other nephew was there. And she said, well, I just don't understand why Shepherd just can't go to therapy twice a week. Like, can't he just go to more therapy so that I can see him? And I just was like, you don't get it. You'll never get it. So, yeah. So that's kind of it. It's not never been like any remorse or like, I'm sorry or acknowledge what's happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I know that, as you've said, that you were really close to your with your mom. So how has that process been of like grieving the relationship?
Really, really hard. I would say that has been the hardest part. It's interesting, you know, in the beginning when I was looking through, you know, posts and books, and anytime there was something that would come across like good daughter syndrome or narcissistic, you know, covert narcissist, I was like, that's not, no. And then I was my current therapist now, she just talking through with her and doing EMDR, I realized that We were very enmeshed. It was a very unhealthy, very codependent relationship. Like I basically was her spouse growing up, you know? And so it was really hard. It was like going through a bad breakup almost, you know? And a lot of grief, a lot of grief. And I've had to slowly like pull away the layers of that because it's still really hard and I still am in denial about certain parts. But so yeah, I would say that's definitely been the hardest. And anyone that knows me knows how, I mean, I talk to her every day. We talked every day. And then so yeah, but I see now that it was the best thing for me. Like I feel like I'm now my own person, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
So
where have you seen growth?
I think the big part is that I enjoy being around my family. Like initially, it was really hard for me to be, I would get so overstimulated and I would have a hard time being around even like my kids when they're just being kids. And so now I don't get triggered by just the idea of family anymore. My husband and I are doing better. Actually, I had shared with him the group podcast that you had posted about the shame, that one group meeting, and he listened to my share. And it was honestly from there that I think he like got me now. You know, he understood because it's really hard for me I don't think he's ever heard me share a lot of those things. So we are definitely better in that sense and just taking more time for myself and being okay with it, you know. I think that's a big part, like respecting when my body is shutting down, that I need to respect it and it's okay to take a break.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I'm sure that like in r upon reflection, when you think about how all this manifested for you, it's in the going, overachieving, people pleasing, over functioning.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's been hard to not do that, you know? And I still do it.
Of
But
course.
yeah, you know. But I think that like also that's part of it too is like I see that and I have finally accepted that healing is going to be long, like for the rest of my life. And that's okay. You know, I don't need to have this like band-aid quick fix. And that's really not the best way to do it anyway. But yeah, it has its being underproductive has been really hard. You know, but I'm getting better with that too. I just, yeah.
Maybe it's
It's
not underproductive. Maybe it's
been
just like being productive.
yeah,
Or
that's
just
true. Like just
being.
being held like normal productive. Yeah, that's actually a really good point, you know? I mean, which is so hard for me to like wrap my mind around, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Like that is. So.
So is your husband a normie? Like, did he come from a normal family?
Oh my gosh, no. We are literally probably the two most incompatible like attachment styles that got married. But so yeah, so it's been rough. I mean, his biological father was very abusive. So, you know, that was another thing too. Like I learned about my anxious attachment style and understand his reactive and trying to like see how the way that I reacted to him, you know, if he was mad at me, I could sense any shift because that's how it was growing up. If there was any shift in my dad's mood or behavior, I immediately was like on high alert and trying to fix everything. Same thing with my husband, and I would follow him around like a sick puppy, like, what did I do wrong? What's wrong? What are you gonna talk to me? Blah, 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 you know, and he would shut down and give me the silent treatment. So yeah, so but he's in therapy, I'm in therapy, and we're getting better. And yeah, so but yeah, it's two of the most incompatible, but
Anxious
people
attachment is just
change.
miserable.
Oh my gosh, it like literally is. Now knowing that sorry, my dog is barking.
Don't hear him.
Knowing that there's like a name for it and that it's not crazy, that there's a reason for it is also helpful. So, you
And
know.
have you like been able to talk about that with him or like?
Yeah, it took a really long time because he felt a shift when I started not chasing him around. Then and I realized like, look, I know that this is how I reacted before, but I'm not going to do that anymore because that's not for me. So it's been definitely a process. And again, that's why when I shared with him that podcast episode, I think that because again, I've never really been vulnerable with him like that because it just never was a safe space for me to be. So yeah, so it was kind of like a really beautiful moment in that he was able to hear a part of me and he just like hugged me and said, "I'm so sorry. I had no idea." So yeah, so it was a pivotal moment, I think, in our marriage.
Yeah, and I love that he was willing to listen to it.
I think that through his own work, yeah, he was able to. We're syncing a lot better.
So tell me what you've got out of being a part of the group.
Honestly, just I remember that first meeting. I left that and I had hope for the first time. Like I had hope that I wasn't the only one, you know, that like it's so interesting seeing people in the different stages of healing and seeing people who, you know, have years behind them. It does. It gives you hope for a better life. But then also seeing people as a mess, like a beautiful mess, validates my beautiful mess as well, too. And just I've shared things in group that I've never shared out loud before. So, like, it's helped me become more vulnerable and like acknowledging the trauma that happened to me, which has in turn helped me in therapy as well, and vice versa. And just like the Breathe to Heal class, oh my gosh, that has been just that has really been life-changing, I would say. Just learning how to breathe.
How to breathe? No shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know.
So, yeah.
All right. So give me three things that you like about yourself.
Oh gosh. I think I'm a good
On. You got him.
I would say I'm a good mom. I'm a cycle breaker. I'm proud to be a cycle breaker. And I always love to learn. I'm a lifelong learner.
Hope or dream for the future.
Whew. To be I don't, oh gosh. So much pressure. To continue to heal and really continue to find my voice and like lean into who I am.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
doing
you.
this.
Thanks for
Did you
having me.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta have it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.